This is Pittsburgh Explainer from 90.5 WESA. Every week, we help you understand some of the most important news from southwestern Pennsylvania. It's Friday, September 11th. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Liz Reed. We're taking a break from the news this week. Instead, we'll hear an interview my colleague Bill O'Driscoll did with Deesha Filial, a native of Florida. Deesha's lived in Pittsburgh for more than 20 years and has just published her debut short story collection. It's titled The Secret Lives of Church Ladies. Here she is reading the opening of her story, Peach Cobbler.
My mother's peach cobbler was so good, it made God himself cheat on his wife. When I was 5, I hovered around my mother in the kitchen, watching, close enough to have memorized all the ingredients and steps by the time I was 6, but not too close to make her yell at me for being in the way, and not close enough to see the exact measurements she used. She never wrote the recipe down. Without having to be told, I learned not to ask questions about that cobbler or about God. I learned not to say anything at all about him hunching over our kitchen table every Monday, eating plate after plate of peach cobbler and then disappearing into the bedroom I shared with my mother.
I really like that that paragraph because I feel like it's just in the context of that story, it sets up a really complex metaphor, this peach cobbler, which is like this delicious dessert, right? But it also becomes this complex metaphor for the narrator's craving for attention from her mother and ultimately for layers of loyalty to all these different characters in the story. Why did you want to tell these particular stories that you tell in The Secret Lives of Church Ladies?
You know, initially, I wasn't focused on church ladies per se, but when I, from the my earliest attempts at writing fiction, there were all, the characters were always women who had a tie to the church. And so those are the women that just sort of came up organically for me because I did grow up in the church and I was always very curious about the women in the church and also the women who were not in church. You know, as a girl, especially as an adolescent, sort of looking around at them as sort of templates for who I might be someday and just wondering about these ideas of godliness and holiness and being a good girl, being a good woman, and then having that juxtaposed with burgeoning sexual curiosity and desires and feelings and urges as a adolescent and pre-adolescent, and trying to reconcile those feelings with all of these restrictions. There was a lot of restriction around sexuality. And so I wondered, you know, how did these women, manage that? You know, were they sexual beings? As an adult now, I know obviously they were, but as a kid, you know, they just seemed like the opposite of sex to me. So I was very curious about them. And then there were the women who were outside of the church who I saw as kind of more fulsome and who were sexual beings, but they were outside of the church, which meant at that time, in my mind, outside of what we say, outside of the will of God. You know, you had to be in the church and you had to behave a certain way in order to get into heaven. Did these women, you know, not care about getting into heaven? And then the women who were in the church, who to me seemed, you know, godly and holy and all the things you're supposed to be, they seemed very disconnected from sex. So I just didn't know how to make sense of all of that.
Many of the characters also have connections to or roots in the American South. And I wondered, is that also biographical with you?
Yes, I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. I was born and raised in Jacksonville and lived there until 1989 when I went off to college. And I haven't lived there full time since then. I've actually lived here in Pittsburgh longer than I lived in Jacksonville, but I am just still Southern through and through. And so are the characters and voices and the people that I'm interested in fictionally.
You called yourself a Southern through and through. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means for one thing, the story Snowfall was very autobiographical in the sense that I hate cold weather, just for a surface reason. Even though I've lived in a cold place since 1997, I think it gets harder and harder to deal with the winters. I grew up in sunshine. I grew up in a place where Food was very central. That's very Southern for me to have food be a part of family and culture and love and comfort and always having enough, because someone might stop by and you can't have someone come into your home and not feed them. You absolutely have to feed them. And for Black Americans in general, you know, this is where our roots were. You know, this is where our ancestors were enslaved. And then, you know, through great migration and other periods of time, you know, we spread out. But I think of the South as a very very Black place. And so, you know, the Southernness and the Blackness of these stories, you know, come through. I think the other piece of it is the you know, the hold that the Black church has on the South. Again, you know, that's where Black people were introduced to Christianity. And I'm speaking of Black Americans. Obviously, there are, you know, diasporically, you know, Black folks in the Caribbean and elsewhere. But in the American South, you know, we were our ancestors were introduced to Christianity while enslaved. And so this grappling with the church and trying to make sense of it and trying to, you know, it was never meant for us. And so then to, you know, to try and find comfort in it, as, you know, as many Black folks do in the church, you know, that was part of Southern culture. You know, the Black church, the role of the church in community from the time of emancipation, looking at the role of the Black church in the civil rights movement. So rooted in the South, you know, so all of that, the church, Blackness, Southernness, you know, there are all of those intersections.
Yeah. And so the title of the book is the Secret Lives of Church Ladies. And you talked about, you know, growing up really wondering about how adults were navigating all these different sort of legacies that they'd been handed down, basically. And a lot of the book comes down to sort of grappling with those things. I'm thinking here of the story, How to Make Love to a Physicist, in which the narrator, you know, is dealing with her relationship with her mother. She's dealing with her body image, and she's dealing with religion all on top of that. And all those things are intertwined, of course. I wonder if you could talk about that story for a minute.
That was a really wonderful story to write. It was really fun. You know, love is wonderful. And so writing a story about a burgeoning love affair that runs into some obstacles that are internal for the main character. And, you know, she's struggling, as you said, with body image issues. So there's the mother-daughter relationship, but her mother also represents the church and this idea of propriety and this idea of, you know, again, that smallness and confinement that is often put on women in the church in particular. You know, you have to look a certain way. So you've got to suck in your stomach. You know, that's something that many of us are taught, you know, holding in your stomach, because God forbid, you know, your stomach stick out, wearing things that constrain your body, because, you know, of course, you know, you have to have everything, nothing can jiggle. So all of this confinement, you know, this idea of being smaller and not having your body be free. And all that, you know, what that means metaphorically as well. And so it was interesting to kind of have this character grapple with that. And instead of having a guy that she is interested in and who is interested in her, you know, come along and, you know, make it all better, you know, she kind of sabotages that relationship in the beginning. But in the process, like while she's sort of holding him at arm's length, she's looking in a mirror and she is working on releasing herself from those confinements.
Yeah. And it seems like so much of the book is about characters who are trying to define themselves and decide for themselves what things like love and relationship and sex means. And it's sort of the other end of that spectrum is the narrator of Instructions for Married Christian Husbands, who really seems to have it locked down compared to the other characters. Do you want to talk about her for a minute?
I don't know. Most of the time we can't go wrong if we flip narratives, you know. And so that's what she does, that, you know, she's in the role of the mistress, or, you know, in more popular culture, the side chick. And talk about secrets, right? You know, those are the women who are in the shadows. And so not only does she step out of the shadows, but then she's got a whole instruction manual for men who are involved with her. So I just wanted to play with flipping that narrative, the usual narrative we have around the women who are the secrets. And so what if instead, a woman like that took the upper hand and controlled the narrative?
Disha Filiaw's debut short story collection, The Secret Lives of Church Ladies, is out now from West Virginia University Press. That's Pittsburgh Explainer for this week. Our show is produced by Katie Blackley. Christopher Ayers is our editor. You can find all of our news coverage at our website, WESA.FM, and of course on the air at 90.5 FM. I'm your host, Liz Reed. Thanks for listening. Let's talk next week.